Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 7th of November. We're going to vote tomorrow if we haven't voted already. The nominees of the major parties announced they were running in mid-June of 2015. It goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. It's been a long and very hard election. And so much has happened with polling just in the last month or so. Of course, we had what happened over the weekend here where the director of the FBI announced yesterday afternoon that the FBI, the recent round of looking at the emails, showed that there was nothing new, and so they wouldn't recommend anything different than they had on July 11th. Remember, it's worth remembering where the polls were not that long ago when that Access Hollywood tape was released on October 7th. An ABC poll showed Donald Trump by October 23rd trailing by 12 points. And then the FBI on October 28th had newly discovered emails and on Anthony Weiner's computer, and that changed the race significantly, so it became extremely narrow in a lot of states. And now we have another announcement saying that there's nothing there, and only a couple days before the election, so who knows what influence that has had, given their previous announcement compared with their announcement yesterday. What we do know is that there are a few states where people are going to be paying a whole lot of attention, and we're going to be talking about those. Analysts are concentrating on Florida, where the Latino vote has been quite high. We'll talk about that early on. We will also be talking about African-American turnout down in that state and in North Carolina as well. We'll look at the state of North Carolina. 11% African-American turnout is down. Could be partially due to the state's process of challenging voter registration. We'll look at Ohio. Early voting is giving Donald Trump the lead. Hillary Clinton would need to get large margins in the Cleveland area to win the state, which explains why she was there on Saturday with Beyonce and Jay-Z. And Pennsylvania, where the Democrats wrap up their campaigning in Philadelphia with Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and Bruce Springsteen tonight. Donald Trump is in Pennsylvania today as well. He will be in Scranton later this afternoon. And the race appears to be close. Real Clear Politics today has it at a two-point race. So we have many guests with us during the course of the next 2 hours. We'll do an extended All Things Political and welcome your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. Our email is talk@wpr.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at @KDunnShow. And we start the hour with Leslie Clark, White House correspondent for McClatchy Newspaper's Washington Bureau. Arrived in Washington in 2006 as a regional reporter for the Miami Herald and assigned to cover the White House in July of 2011. She worked for the Miami Herald in Tallahassee and Miami, and we are delighted to have her with us because she has a national viewpoint, but also has a Florida viewpoint. Leslie, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Can you believe it's almost over, Leslie?
It is really hard to believe. I have no idea what I'm going to do with myself for the next 16 months.
Oh, well,
that withdrawal symptom.
You think about it today, because maybe there's some things that you've always wanted to do and you haven't been able to do a darn thing for 16 months.
Like laundry.
Right, laundry. It is absolutely crazy to me that we spend so much time on these elections. It's just, most will say, way too long.
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of countries look at us and say, what are you doing? I mean, they'll have a presidential election that lasts about 2 months, and nobody can really understand why we put ourselves through this.
Exactly, and they say 2 months is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the Latino-Latina vote in Florida, which seems mm-hmm. to be making a lot of news. The turnout among that group has been way, way up. The number of early voters, a huge increase, and over 30% of Latino voters voting for the first time?
Right, yeah. I mean, it was incredible. They said that both in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, which are in South Florida and the most populous counties in the entire state, they just blew past any early voting records that they had had. The turnout was just amazing. And a lot of that would definitely be Hispanic voters.
Mm-hmm. So come tomorrow, actual election day, have they more than made up what would be needed by the Republicans tomorrow to win Florida? Is it still a close race? Where is it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't tell from the early voting just because somebody is a registered Republican or a registered Democrat exactly how they're going to go, especially now when you have the two most unpopular presidential candidates
right.
in any time in history. You have Republicans who, you know, refusing to vote for Donald Trump, and you have Democrats who are refusing to vote for Hillary Clinton. So, you know, it's still anybody's guess as to who it might be, but both camps are obviously pouring through the numbers, looking at them, and, you know, trying to find where they think it's going to fall to.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was in Sarasota, Florida this morning before he headed off on more trips.
Yeah, they're both stopping in all kinds of places today. What about African-American vote in Florida? Where is it?
That I don't have any numbers on myself right now. I think it's less than it was in 2012, which is worrisome to the Clinton campaign.
Mm-hmm. In this state, you keep hearing from many different analysts, so I assume there's a great deal of truth to this. This really is a must-win state, would you say, along with North Carolina, for Donald Trump to get
for
to
Donald
the presidency?
Trump. Yeah, absolutely. For Donald Trump, his path to the presidency pretty much. I mean, there are other avenues and all kinds of complicated, you know, scenarios, but he really needs Florida if he wants to win the presidency.
Mm-hmm. And what we're also seeing is a breakdown in the Latino vote and a finding that younger voters are more likely, maybe millennial voters and people from Puerto Rico, more likely to be voting Democratic. We used to think that particularly Cuban immigrants were solidly Republican, but among younger voters, they are not anymore. We're seeing a real change in demographics that makes you think the Republicans are going to have to look at this group in order to win, if maybe they will win tomorrow, but in order to feel they have a real good shot at the presidency, they have to court these voters.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the point of the entire, as they call it, the autopsy of the 2012
yeah.
election, said that they really messed up by not appealing to Hispanic voters, which are, you know, among the largest voting blocks. The Trump campaign is basically rolling the dice and hoping that that is not the case, that, you know, that the Latino vote remains sort of a sleeping giant, like it's a lot of people, but a lot of them aren't registered to vote and are not going to be likely to vote.
And what are you seeing today in terms of the Senate race in Florida now? Has Rubio pulled ahead?
Yeah, it looks like it from all indications are that he's... I was just actually looking before you called. The University of Florida does the Larry Sabato does his crystal ball, and I don't know what the history of it is, but it's usually fairly accurate, and he's got Rubio is holding on.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I was just mentioning the polls, and we've had so many big news stories. The story that came from Access Hollywood, the story
yeah.
from the FBI just a little while ago, and then the story from the FBI just a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday it was, actually. And it's really resulted in polls that have been incredibly fluctuating, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just been incredibly wild. I mean, when James Comey made it's been really interesting, too. You had sort of a dichotomy of responses when you had James Comey back in July saying that they weren't going to bring any criminal charges against Hillary Clinton. You know, Democrats were thrilled, and it was a wonderful ruling, and James Comey was wonderful. Republicans were furious. He's got to go. He's terrible. Then, you know, a couple weeks ago, he said, well, we're going to look into some more emails, and suddenly he was the darling of Republicans, and, you know, they were saying the system wasn't rigged. Well, yesterday, with Comey's announcement, the Republicans are back to, you know, the entire system is rigged, and Comey is somehow in the tank for Clinton. I was at a Trump rally in Virginia yesterday, and if anybody thought that any of the Trump people would, you know, believe that Clinton had been cleared by the FBI,
right.
that was very much not the case. It just further energized people against.
And he's still using that in his campaign messaging today, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He was in Sarasota this morning saying that the entire system is rigged.
Mm-hmm. I have noticed, and then I just learned yesterday, that he seemed to be very much on message the last week. There haven't been any strange tweets. And then I really realized his campaign people, I've read this, took away his Twitter account. Is that true?
Right. Yeah, I know the New York Times had that great tidbit that his because he has been remarkably, for him, it's kind of interesting that the fact that he doesn't make any incredible, you know, controversial statements is disciplined, but that's the case. For the past 2 weeks, he has pretty much stuck to the script. In fact, at one point in Florida, again, last week in Pensacola, he actually said to himself, as he's standing up on stage, sticking to the script, okay, Donald, stick to the script, you know, stay in control, don't go anywhere else. Yeah, so you can, I mean, he's on his third campaign staff, and this is probably the one that, you know, has been, obviously he got through the primary, so that one was effective in getting him through the primary, but this one has been the most effective in getting him to stay focused.
Mm-hmm. I think Kellyanne Conway is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She sure has had to do her share of TV work, hasn't she?
Yeah, she is pretty much everywhere.
She really is.
And she said a couple times they had asked, I guess she had said in one interview that she had sort of likened Trump to dealing with, I think she has either three or four children, young children, and she likened dealing with Trump to dealing with her young sons. And then she said at a certain point that, you know, that's always the case whenever she's dealing with people. It's sort of a good practice to use.
I'm thinking of the stars who have appeared and will appear tonight with Springsteen, James Taylor yesterday in New Hampshire, I believe. We had Beyonce and Jay-Z in Cleveland. Trump doesn't have a lot of big stars. Is that something that's kind of passé to have big stars show up for you and then you're so energized because you heard Bruce Springsteen play that you're going to go out and vote tomorrow?
Well, it does have the... I think it's both ways because it does have the... It does get people to the events, and then they are, like, a lot of these events are close to early voting sites, so that you know, go across the street and vote at these early voting sites. I mean, President Obama was in Florida last week for Clinton, and, you know, they had the rally right across the street from a huge early voting site. So in that case, yeah, maybe it does. Maybe people get there. But for the most part, I actually was talking to some folks yesterday who had been their political strategists from around the world, and they had been at Hillary Clinton's campaign the night before, Katy Perry, and then they were at Trump's last night in Virginia, and they were talking to me about the lack of enthusiasm they felt for Clinton at the Katy Perry event. They thought that more people were there for Katy Perry than for Hillary Clinton, compared to Trump, who had, you know, screaming fans waiting 3 hours late, and people waited for him.
Well, he's a TV star, right?
Yeah, yeah, the enthusiasm is definitely there. But what's interesting about him is, if you look, he does not have any of the traditional people with him. Like, he goes to states, and where is the governor? Where, you know, Marco Rubio, you know, is campaigning in the same state and found it a large enough state to stay far away from Donald Trump.
Well, that is what you just said, pretty astounding, isn't it? I can't remember a campaign like that in my lifetime.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely unprecedented for the nominee to not appear with very many members of his party.
And what about their turnout operation? You could really see a turnout operation that was magnificent when Barack Obama ran in 2008. They were really good, and they were in 2012. All indications are that the Democrats have a much superior ground operation, which I would imagine is important when it comes to early voting and certainly to tomorrow.
Oh yeah, it's huge for tomorrow, especially, and it's also huge in states where the numbers are so tight. Like, I think that's where you'll see the test of their ground game in places like Florida. And Trump has, you know, sort of poo-pooed this idea of metrics and of analysis and of really getting people out, and they do not have as much staff. So, but the RNC, on the other hand, has a really great ground game, and so, I mean, that definitely keeps everything super competitive.
Mm-hmm. Let's welcome phone calls for you. Our number is 800-486-8655. Leslie Clark is our first guest, White House correspondent with McClatchy, and she worked for the Miami Herald for many years. So we're concentrating this hour on two important states. We'll look at the results tomorrow pretty carefully. We've already looked at early voting pretty carefully, certainly in Florida. We'll be looking over the course of the next 2 hours at Florida. We'll look at Ohio. We'll look at North Carolina and at Pennsylvania. But toss in your comments about Wisconsin or any other place as well. Leslie, of course, is the White House correspondent with McClatchy, so she's following what's going on nationally pretty darn closely today. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We are on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Coming up later this hour, the former governor of Ohio, Robert Taft, will be joining us. He is also a great-grandson of the president and U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice William Howard Taft. We'll also speak with a reporter for the Cleveland.com who's covering the 2016 election. All right, to you in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to Nate in Milwaukee, our first caller for Leslie Clark, White House correspondent with McClatchy. We go to you, Nate.
With all this talk about rigged elections and stuff like that, I was going to mention that one of the most effective ways of rigging elections this year hasn't been talked that much about in the media, and it has occurred in Wisconsin and Florida, and I believe Ohio and North Carolina as well, and that's gerrymandering, which is basically where you're drawing lines on the map.
All right. Gerrymandering, is that a problem? Have you looked at that, Leslie?
Well, I mean, I think he means gerrymandering in terms of drawing congressional districts. Yeah,
yes.
I would say that a lot of people consider that, but that's not like rigging the election exactly. But yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, the party in power gets to pretty much decide the maps and how the state looks. There are places in Florida where they've found, you know, districts, congressional districts shaped like, you know, like a snake, and people don't have anything. There'll be one house across the street from another, and they're in two different congressional districts because the lawmakers in charge will draw the district to, you know, for the greatest support for their party. I think that's something that President Obama has actually said that he wants to work on post-election, is some sort of a fairer response to gerrymandering.
Mm. Let's talk for just a moment about post-election. You'll be doing your laundry, and I would imagine a lot of other people will as well, Leslie. But whoever has to govern this country is going to be facing this formidable task. We're mad at each other. If you're a Democrat, you're mad at Trump supporters. If you're a Trump supporter, you're mad at Hillary Clinton and Democrats. Families aren't talking to each other. What a yeoman's job to be able to bring some semblance of order and civility back to this country.
Yeah, it's going to be a really incredibly difficult task. We did a poll last week that found that, you know, Trump supporters want somebody who stands on principle and they don't want to compromise. That Clinton supporters were a lot more open to compromise, but the Trump people don't want to compromise. So, I mean, I definitely think that sort of bridging the gap and healing the divide will be the next president's biggest task. And I don't know how that will get done, no matter who it is.
Yeah, I don't either. Let's go to Diane in Harrison. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, let me just say that I'm not a member of any hate group or religious cult, so I don't fit into the Trump camp. I'm a very analytical person who likes to get the facts, regardless of how they may fall. But yesterday I listened to This American Life, and you guys had a fantastic program that really went into detail about the entire email fiasco, so to speak, and in understanding what really transpired, and also in unfolding the truth about how totally archaic the government, definitely the State Department's IT department and computers, and they're still using floppies. And when you hear this, I think that the mass hysteria that Trump has been able to get people going on, they don't even understand that there's no way that any person in their right mind could say that what Hillary supposedly did could have been anything close to prosecutable offense. It's just mind-boggling. I think another point, too, that I wanted to say is that when President Obama appointed Comey, you know, granted he wanted to cross the lines to try to bring in some type of group effort, you know, by appointing a Republican, but you know, I didn't, and I'm sure most people didn't realize just how incredibly partisan the FBI is.
Thank you very much for your call. Will the FBI face some kind of scrutiny, investigations, if she is elected? And I guess you would need control of the Senate for that to become more of a possibility, wouldn't you, Leslie?
Well, no, because the Republicans will likely retain control of the House, and the House has pretty much already guaranteed Jason Chaffetz and Trey Gowdy have pretty much, you know, made it clear that they're going to continue to investigate Clinton on everything. I mean, I have no doubt that they will include the FBI in it. And your caller makes a really good point in terms of that Comey was a Republican, served in the George Bush administration, and that he was brought along by President Obama to join his campaign. To join the government as the FBI director. And he's in there for a 10-year tenure, which is going to be, you know, pretty interesting given how angry
yes.
Republicans are.
Yeah, and given how angry Democrats are as well, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our number is 800-486-8655. John, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I tend to lean conservative, but I'm really, truly undecided. And if, you know, I talk to people who support Trump and they say all this bad stuff about Hillary and vice versa. But what if it's all true? What if, you know, Trump is as big an ignorant, bigot, racist, you know, scammer, as they say. Let's say that's true. And let's say Hillary Clinton is actually, you know, criminally negligent, you know, with the emails and Benghazi. So how someone, you know, to choose between, you know, between these two people?
Well, how are you going to do that? You sound like you're talking about yourself, John. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I vote Republican typically, but I think Clinton might be the least disruptive, in spite of the fact that, you know, I think she's, you know, unethical and taking money from, you know, other governments or whatever. I think there's some truth in that, and the long history of Clinton scandals, you know, going back to Bill Clinton's presidency. I think I might just have to say, well, you know, maybe that's true. That's how politics is. But she might be the least disruptive in terms of
right.
our country. And
okay. I got to hold you there. Thank you very much for your call. The Senate,
great
I want to make sure we talk to you about, yeah, unbelievable. There are undecided people
terrific
out there.
Comment.
Yeah. The Senate.
Well, they're both so disliked, though. It's, I mean,
right.
so I understand that people
right.
are going in trying to figure out.
Yeah, absolutely. Is the Senate up for grabs?
I think, I mean, yes, but whether or not it will, I mean, absolutely, but whether or not it'll, how far it will go, I mean, I think you will probably have a tie, you know, 50-50. I think the Senate, well, the Democrats will pick up a number.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing from several people. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be tie, and then it will be Kane who will decide a tie vote.
Yeah.
Interesting. What are you going to be watching specifically tomorrow night?
I will be at Trump campaign election party headquarters. So I will be watching to see, to get some, you can usually get a sense from a campaign, you know, they get some early numbers and they hear from people out in the field and you get some sense of what's going on. So you can generally tell by the, you know, sort of the mood of the party if they're, you know, popping open the champagne bottles
right.
or they're, you know, sort of making the room smaller, which I've seen in a lot of places because they know that not as many people will show up to the victory party, so they start closing the room off and making it smaller.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Leslie, for being with us.
Thank you. This was so much fun. I'd love to do it again.
Please. We'd love to have you again. Great. Leslie Clark, White House correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers, covered Washington as regional reporter for the Miami Herald as well, was assigned to cover the White House in July of 2011. Let's take one more phone call before we switch guests, because we had talked with Leslie about her doing her laundry when this election is over. Dennis in Madison, what do you think about the election being over?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. For
sure.
Yeah, first of all, I was just going to say that, you know, the real sad thing about this election is, you know, everybody's saying that it's going to end tomorrow, but, you know, all this nonsense, all this racism, all this sexism, it's just going to continue on. You know, I remember back in 2008, everybody was really hopeful after Obama got elected, and then 2 years later, all that, you know, anger just festered up into the midterm election. So I don't even think this is going to end, so it should. It might even get worse. But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Dennis, thanks very much for your call. And all of your calls will be applicable as we continue. We're going to speak with the former governor of the state of Ohio in just one moment, and we'll be welcoming calls at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. 800-259-9655 for you to join us. This is the day before the election. Leave messages for us on our Facebook page as well. We would love to hear from you. What are you thinking here today? That's the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are on Twitter, and you can find us on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Governor Robert Bob Taft is with us now, former governor, Ohio Republican Party. He was the 67th governor of Ohio between 1999 and 2007. He works now for the University of Dayton as a political science professor, and he is part of a long-serving political family. His father was U.S. Senator Robert Alfonso Taft Jr., his paternal grandfather, U.S. Senate Majority Leader Robert Alfonso Taft Sr., and his great-grandfather was U.S. President and U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice William Howard Taft. So we'll be welcoming phone calls for him. Our number again is 800-486-8655. Governor Taft, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Oh, you've had a lot of activity in Ohio, huh?
Oh, every other day they're here, all the candidates.
Yeah, we thought we had a lot of commercials. I bet you've got double the number we have, if that's at all possible. You were quoted as saying something I read. Personally, I have very deep reservations about Donald Trump. You are a Republican. It's going to be a fascinating year, you said early on, in a horrible kind of way. How fascinating has it been? How horrible has it been?
Yeah, it's been too fascinating and too horrible, I would say. You know, it's just an amazing election. In my lifetime, I've never seen an election where the majority of voters are unenthusiastic about both candidates.
Yeah, why is that? Why are we so unhappy with both? What happened?
Well, I just think that partly I think it's the tone of the campaign. It's been a very negative campaign. It's been a very nasty campaign. It's been a very, a campaign full of personal insults. I think very unsatisfying campaign in terms of information, and of course it's been all about various scandals or issues that voters don't care about so much. I mean, emails and personal lives and things that happened a long time ago. I mean, not that they don't matter, they do matter. Certainly character is very important in choosing a president, but I think a lot of people would like to hear more about issues that really affect their lives.
Mm-hmm. Issues like what? Economy?
Definitely the economy. Absolutely. I think the cost of health care is a major issue. Certainly education is a major issue. I would say one issue that's still pending and important that both candidates have spoken to is the issue of immigration. But, polls apart on that issue and it's an issue in parts of the country, I think, more so than other parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about immigration, because indications are, and I believe this will be one of the stories of this election, as it was for Republicans with Mitt Romney, and it would appear to be that it's a huge factor in this election in terms of Latino voters voting early for Hillary Clinton in very large numbers. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but isn't this an indication that the Republican Party really needs to read its own autopsy from 4 years ago?
Exactly. As you point out, 4 years ago, Republican Party leaders came together and said we need to promote and endorse comprehensive immigration reform. A number of Republican senators were involved in the efforts to work out a compromise that actually passed the Senate. It died in the House. And then, of course, the Trump candidacy has made that a major issue and talked about walls and talked very blanket terms in a negative way about immigrants, particularly from Mexico. So I think that the atmosphere has been poisoned on immigration, but you're absolutely right. I think one of the big stories coming out of this election will be Hispanic voters, where they exist in large numbers, are coming out to vote against Trump. Now, here in Ohio, that's not as big a factor because we have a relatively small Hispanic population, just about 3%. But in many other swing states, it will make a difference.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts about Donald Trump? Were you upset when he became the nominee? Have you endorsed him in any way?
I have not endorsed him. I'm not planning to vote for him tomorrow. I have reservations both in terms of his temperament and his fitness to be president, and also I have reservations about the policies that he has been promoting. So it just would be very hard, in fact, really not possible for me to vote for Donald Trump. And it is an absolutely unprecedented election from that standpoint. I think you have, you know, something like 30 members of Congress, Republicans, not endorsing Trump. We have the Republican governor of Ohio, John Kasich, who was a candidate himself for president, has not endorsed Trump. In fact, he wrote in John McCain's name when he voted on his ballot. The Ohio Republican State Party chairman wasn't able to put a Trump sign in his yard because his wife was opposed. So, you know, it's unprecedented in terms of, you know, divisions within the Republican Party, and the fact that there's not across-the-board support for the nominee.
So, Governor Taft, who are you going to vote for?
Well, I'm working on it.
I'm still struggling
with that decision, you know.
But it's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow, and I'm giving it a lot of prayerful consideration. I know I'm not voting for Trump, but I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do. Our U.S. Senate Republican senator from Ohio, Rob Portman, is up for re-election, and he says he's going to vote for Mike Pence for the top of the ticket. In other words, write in Mike Pence's name. So there's a number of options that I'm still considering.
And the New York Times had an interesting editorial, actually, yesterday, and I want your response to this. They said that they were looking at Republicans who have stood by Donald Trump. Let me quote, "The real miserable presidential campaign exposed a lot of rot in our democracy's infrastructure and anger in the populace. The Republican Party is sick. History will not be kind to Republicans who, out of cravenness or calculation, sidled up to a man they knew to be unfit for office." And it particularly points out Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio.
He is, obviously, I'm not any longer active in Republican politics. I'm not running for anything. But those folks that are leaders in the party have been in a terrific bind, a really difficult situation from the standpoint of supporting a nominee about whom they do have serious reservations and serious disagreements, too, from the standpoint of policy. I think it's just been a very, very difficult choice, and I certainly sympathize with people like, you know, Speaker Ryan and others who have had to take that kind of a position. They're in a position of leadership within the party, the grassroots of the Republican Party. A large portion of the grassroots Republican Party enthusiastically endorse and support Donald Trump.
Yes,
there's a lot of unhappiness. Not a lot. I'm not that close to it, but there's some Republicans who support Trump who are not exactly happy with our governor, although they support our governor, too, but they're not happy that he's not endorsed Donald Trump. Or they may not have been happy with the decision of Senator Portman to say that he's going to write in Mike Pence's name. So the leaders of the party are between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Recent polls, I mean, this is a day when we can talk about polling. We normally don't, but the election is tomorrow. What the heck? What I've read today, and maybe you're seeing something different, Donald Trump has a 3% chance, 3% over Hillary Clinton in Ohio right now. Does that strike you as about right?
Well, that's what the polls have been showing, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Donald Trump wins the state of Ohio tomorrow. Our population compared to other swing states is a little different. As I mentioned, we have about a 3% Hispanic vote, which is relatively small compared to states like Colorado or even Virginia, certainly Florida. We have an older electorate. 63% of the electorate in Ohio is over 25, and a pretty high proportion, you know, over 60, which tend to be more Republican voters. We also have a somewhat high percentage of voters without a college degree. We traditionally have been a blue collar manufacturing state in many regions of Ohio. Mm-hmm. So I think that factors into it, too, because as the polls have shown, you know, Trump is doing far better with those with high school education as opposed to those with a college education. So I think that the demographics of Ohio are somewhat more favorable to Donald Trump than some of the other swing states around the country.
Even when you had a big concert in Cleveland with Beyonce and Jay-Z?
I'm sorry?
Even when you had a big concert in Cleveland with Beyonce and Jay-Z, they didn't add a lot?
Well, that's the big question mark in Ohio. Exactly right.
Is it really?
No, the question mark is turnout in the African-American community.
Right.
Will it be close to the kind of high turnout that occurred when President Obama was on the ticket in the last two presidential elections, or will it be a much smaller turnout? And, of course, that vote remains, you know, very high percentage Democrat voting. So that's important for the chances of the of Hillary Clinton in the state of Ohio. It's a big difference in Ohio, as other states too, between presidential election years and non-presidential election years. And presidential election years do tend more Democrat voters tend to turn out in those years. But the big unanswered question in Ohio would be, you know, what percent of African Americans and to some extent young voters,
right,
who are probably more pro Clinton, will turn out.
Yeah.
They turned out big time for President Obama in 2008 and 2012.
The former governor of Ohio, Robert Taft, is our guest right now. He was governor from 1999 to 2007. He's now a political science professor and comes from a long line of distinguished political servants, U.S. Senator Robert Alfonso Taft Jr., his father, his paternal grandfather, U.S. Senate Majority Leader Robert Alfonso Taft Sr., and his great-grandfather was U.S. President and U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice William Howard Taft. Let's take a couple phone calls for him, and then we're going to add to our conversation somebody who's been covering politics in Ohio for a long time. Let's go to Annie in Appleton. Hi, Annie.
Hi there, and hi, Governor. Maybe what I say will help you make your decision. I know there's so many considerations.
You're going to try and persuade the governor now who to vote for.
Yeah.
That's great. Go ahead.
But I, my disabled daughter never had health care until the Affordable Health Care Act passed. She also happens to be Mexican, so we're hitting her on two different things. But she cried and said, "Mom, will I lose my insurance?" And I'm like, "Brit, or Barb, this is not going to happen. You have to be positive about it." But in addition to that, I lost three family members because they didn't have health care, two of them choosing to end their own lives. So this is the real world. These are the things that have to be important to us, is health care and children and the disabled. And these are the things that Donald Trump has really assaulted. And I just want to say that. And I also want to recommend that anybody watch Trump Land by Michael Moore. It was just fantastic.
Thank you, Annie, very much for the call. This issue about health care, there are a lot of people who aren't very happy about Obamacare either, Governor Taft. This issue about health care is a thorny one, has been for a long time, and will continue to be, won't it?
Very much so. And, of course, here in Ohio, although we had reservations about the overall Obamacare plan, Governor Kasich and the Republicans did expand the Medicaid program to cover more low-income families under the Obamacare reform. So, fortunately, we've got pretty, you know, strong coverage in Ohio, although the challenge, I think, is for individuals to find affordable insurance. And there aren't as many choices as one would like, particularly from the standpoint of keeping your own doctor. And I think that is an issue that's going to affect how people vote. I think Republicans would like to reform the laws so that insurance companies could market policies nationwide as opposed to state by state and try to get more competition in and more variety of options for consumers in the insurance market. Fortunately, in my opinion, at any rate, we do have health care available for the lower income families pretty widely throughout the state of Ohio right now, and we continue to have some choices. It's not as many choices as we'd like. Some of the large insurers have pulled out of the Obamacare market in Ohio, So it could become a big issue in Ohio. Perhaps not too much of an issue yet.
Mm-hmm. The governor will stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation, pause for just a moment, and add to the conversation Andrew Tobias, who will stay with us, and the governor will stay till the top of the hour. Andrew, well, I'll tell you all about him in just a moment, and we'll welcome phone calls. Thanks, Annie, very much for your call, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So we add to the conversation, staying with us is former governor of the state of Ohio, Robert Taft, and also joining us for a little bit now as we continue our look at what's going on in Ohio, a very important state, is Andrew Tobias. And Andrew, thank you very much for being with us. You've been covering Ohio for a long time, haven't you? Andrew, hello. Hi.
Yeah, I've been doing this. I've been covering politics in Ohio for about 8 years, so not as long as some of my colleagues. But I've lived here my entire life, and it's, you know, this has definitely been an interesting election.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the former governor? We'll introduce you, Governor.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Governor. How are you?
Great.
Yeah. So, Andrew, where are things right now in Ohio? Still a slight lead for Donald Trump?
Yeah, that's what the polling says, and I overheard you guys discussing this earlier. I think that something that's kind of not being captured with the polling is that I think we're used to, in American politics, seeing kind of like an even ground game on each side that almost kind of cancel each other out.
Really?
It's a little unclear whether, the Trump campaign still is as engaged on a national level as they maybe a traditional Republican candidate would. So it wouldn't surprise me to see, taking that to Ohio, where I'm most familiar with it, maybe a 2-point lead isn't quite a safe lead if it actually is an accurate margin, which is kind of like what the average is right now for Trump. So I think it's really best to think of it as a toss-up. Mm. And as you guys were discussing earlier, there are some demographic reasons why Trump's candidacy is strong here, but I'm just really reluctant to I think nationally that a lot of people are kind of writing off Ohio is definitely in the Trump column, and it's just really hard to say that right now.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, what's your assessment of that, Governor? That it would appear that the Democrats' ground game is superior this election cycle.
I think Andrew makes a very good point, and that is one of the other big unknowns is how strong is the Clinton ground game. I know, it's a lot stronger than the Trump ground game, which is very, very weak. On the other hand, Senator Portman, who started out having a close Senate race, has a very strong get-out-the-vote campaign, some 2,000 volunteers across the state of Ohio. That could help Trump. However, Senator Portman is running about 10 or 11 points ahead of Donald Trump, so there's going to be a number of voters who will vote for him, but either won't vote in the presidential election or won't vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm. Is that an unusual thing? We've been hearing a lot about witnessing how close the Senate might be here and whether or not Democrats get control. Is it unusual for people to split tickets, Andrew?
It's not as unusual as you might think. I mean, I remember, I can't remember off the top of my head, like the exact specific dates and stuff like that. But if you kind of go back throughout time, I mean, I think that Ohio voted for Ronald Reagan around the same time that they were voting for Howard Metzenbaum, who's a very liberal senator who's here for a long time. So it's not as unusual as you might think. I think especially in Ohio and other states are like this too, like Missouri, and you might see it in Wisconsin, I guess. In people generally are independent-minded, especially with somebody they kind of know about. And so, just to answer your question in a really simple way, I don't think it would be that unusual for the ticket to be split here in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask both of you this. We explored this a little bit in the first half hour. Whoever wins tomorrow, there are going to be a whole lot of people who didn't vote for either Trump or for Clinton, those who are voting major party, and they're really upset about who the candidate is. I mean, they are upset in a way that I haven't seen people upset in a long, long time. How in the world can anybody who wins this election move forward, Governor?
Well, and I think a lot of people are very upset at the choice. They don't like the decision that they're being handed. I think those people, they're more in the middle, perhaps. So I think, they're certainly going to get over it. The intense partisans on either side would be another matter. And I think if Trump ends up, losing in the presidential race throughout the country, his attitude and what he says is going to make a big difference as to how his supporters go forward.
You think he'll be gracious?
I don't know. I don't think anybody can predict what he might do.
Andrew?
It's funny. I mean, usually, like, I think that we like to think of ourselves as experts when we talk about this stuff. I think Donald Trump has shown that he's an unpredictable person. And if anything, I mean, you know, you have to think that he might not, if I had to guess a certain side. So, you know, it's going to be it's really important, I think, when and I don't want to suppose that he's going to lose. Obviously, it kind of looks that way right now. But whatever the outcome of the election is, for somebody to actually kind of, I guess, draw a lesson from it and move forward, people have to accept it as legitimate. And so if he doesn't make a statement that basically acknowledges that they lost, I mean, you know, it would be it's going to be challenging anyways. You know, we live in a very partisan environment, and so it's not like it's an easy road to hoe nonetheless. But especially if, you know, you have the Republican nominee not acknowledging that you know, the election results were legitimate, I'm hard pressed to think of a similar situation.
Yeah,
and it could depend to some extent on, and I hope it doesn't, but it could depend to some extent on how big the margin is. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's very close versus if it's a large margin.
Yeah. Where are you going to be watching most intently tomorrow night, Andrew? What states?
You know, it's funny. Like, I think, well, you know, so it's my job to watch Ohio.
Right. I guess you'll watch Ohio.
and we're used to that kind of being the bottom line in an election. I think that, you know, we could still kind of, you know, go either way. Certainly if Hillary Clinton were to win Ohio, I think that would shut down Donald Trump's path to victory. But I'm really interested in Nevada, honestly, which is kind of weird to say, and I think not really typical. But you hear reports out there of a lot of early voting activity from Hispanic voters, and mm-hmm. that's something that can significantly narrow Trump's path to victory. I mean, I'll be very interested, obviously, in Florida. North Carolina is going to be really big this year. So, you know, kind of like the usual suspects, but maybe Nevada, North Carolina, not necessarily the first place that you'd think of, maybe, you know, most of the time. But I'm interested in New Hampshire, too. I mean, so it's a really expansive map, and I think it's less so that Ohio is less important as much as just the weird things about this particular election maybe puts more states in play. So it's almost hard to, like, pick one. There's kind of a lot of different places that you could look.
Mm-hmm. Governor Taft?
Well, first of all, with regard to Ohio, it'll be interesting to see if the person elected president does not carry the state of Ohio. Because that hasn't happened until since 1960, when John F. Kennedy was elected without carrying Ohio. So that would be a big change. I'll be looking particularly at Florida and North Carolina. I think that if either of those states go into the Clinton column, it's over, as far as I can tell.
If either of those states, not both.
Right, either of them. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, I think it'd be very difficult for Donald Trump to be elected without carrying both Florida and North Carolina.
Let's take one phone call. Oh, for both of you. I'm sorry. I think we just lost Andrew on that transfer here. But let's go to Jim in Rice Lake. Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there? Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Are you there? Jim isn't there either. Well, let me ask you, Governor. I think he wanted to talk about the rise of Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. We talked about the economy earlier. Are there certain kinds of programs that either a Trump or a Clinton could initiate that would address the very real economic angst?
Well, this may sound Republican, but I think, which I am, tax reform would be very important if they could come up with a tax reform plan that actually lowered tax rates but closed loopholes to pay for the tax reform. I think there are things that could be done to improve the tax structure that would really incentivize more job creation, incentivize more, you know, smaller companies to be formed and to create jobs and really boost employment and good paying jobs. So I think that's one thing that could be very important.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, you probably missed the question because I lost you in this, but let me just ask you, we have about 30 seconds. Any final words about Ohio today, Ohio tomorrow, Ohio and Beyonce and Jay-Z?
Well, the Beyonce and Jay-Z thing is really enticing, but kind of I'm still a thing that we're really interested in that I mentioned earlier is whether Ohio is going to lose its kind of bellwether status. You know, as Governor Taft mentioned, it's been since 1960 since the state's backed somebody who didn't ultimately end up winning the White House. And so if that happens again, we'll be interested to see whether it's something unique about this election or whether it's something that kind of forecasts the future where maybe we're not going to be a swing state as much as we used to be anymore.
Thank you both so much for being with us. I hope you'll join us again.
Thanks so much. It was fun.
Thanks. Great fun. Andrew Tobias, reporter for Cleveland.com and the former governor of the state of Ohio, Robert Taft. Thanks to Scotty Myers, KP Whaley, and Zeb Gozman.